Aussie v Aussie and a fair bit of hatred, although I believe they've shared a bottle of red wine. We're going to be chatting with Eddie Jones later on in the morning. Hello, Jack Magnay.
Hello, how are you guys?
Yeah, bit of bitterness. It got a bit ugly, didn't it, this Checker v Eddie Jones?
Well, it did. It certainly sparked a lot of interest in the game, and there was a lot of tit for tat, and the dig seemed to be a little bit personal and a little bit going a little bit deeper than what might normally have been expected. It certainly sparked up the interest. And after the game, Eddie Jones said, well, look, you know, we've got cold beers and cold pies in the dressing room. Come on in. And as you've mentioned, they ended up sharing a bottle of red. I'm sure it was more than one. I'd be really intrigued to know how long that went on for. You could probably ask Eddie a bit later on. But certainly Michael Checker was rowing back big time after the game, saying he had to accept the result, that Eddie had done a great job, that the England team was certainly number two in the world. You know, everyone still considers the All Blacks number one. So there was a bit of conciliatory talk there by Michael Checker. He really wanted to win that game, though, and end the season on a high. And as it is, you know, it's such a poor win-loss record now. The season, that last game really will overshadow what, you know, there was improvements. He's brought in some great players. He's blooded, you know, more than a dozen players in the last 15 games. So you can see that the team developing, but we just didn't get that result.
No, we didn't, and we didn't look at different times like anything was happening. But I suppose we're judged on World Cup sort of rotations, and we're right in the midst of it. Now, Sepp Blatter, that fine upstanding man from the soccer world...
What are you saying?
Yeah, his six-year ban has been upheld by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Unsurprisingly, I might add.
No, well, he's 80 now, so this will mean he'll be 85 when that ban is lifted. And, you know, some people are still thinking he may make a comeback.
Oh, stop, please. Come
please.
On.
he is one for, you know, bouncing back, isn't he? But, you know, this is about that disloyalty payment of £1.3 million to Michele Platini. Originally, he was given an 8-year ban. The Court of Arbitration of Sport has said, no, we're upholding that ban. You've got 6 years. He still faces other legal action, though, because the Swiss prosecutors are still investigating a criminal case against him for that same payment. The Americans are involved as well. And the FIFA ethics body is also investigating other activities that he may have got up to, including payment of bonuses to executives that he surrounded himself with. So he's still in trouble and still a quite a way to go. The new boss of FIFA, though, he today just got rid of the head of security, who is also across match fixing of FIFA. That's Ralf Mutschke. He was a former German Interpol policeman. He's now gone. So FIFA's made these massive changes at the very top levels of the game in a, you know, a real clean out of the cupboard. So, but, you know, I still think structurally there's still major problems with FIFA. And, you know, as we know, you know, it's a storyline, a gift for journalists because, you know, the stories just keep coming out of there, you know, on a weekly basis.
Jack, Daniel Ricciardo, any hope of getting the drive in Mercedes? Red Bull goes, we're not going to let him go. But this was a shock. Nico Rosberg retiring after winning the world title on the weekend. And Lewis Hamilton said, don't let the door hit you in the backside on the way out. Well, that's not a direct quote, by the way.
Well, it was a massive shock. And, well, anyone who's won a world title will know that once you've won one, to actually then hold on to it is harder. And I feel he's just left the sport hanging there. You know, he's proven himself as the best in the world, but can he hold on to it? Well, we're never going to know that. Mercedes want to replace him immediately before Christmas. They've got pre-season testing in the new year, so they need to get their driver in place in the, you know, all the computer simulation, you know, in the next couple of weeks. Daniel Ricciardo won't be going to Mercedes. He is under a very lucrative contract with Red Bull that he signed just a few months ago. The penalty clauses for him to leave, that would be punitive. So I bet they don't want to let him go. They've got two great, and, you know, Max Verstappen, that rivalry there with Daniel, I mean, it's great. And Red Bull is seen as one of the cars that will really go well under the new rules next year. So I don't know that Daniel really wants to shift too.
No.
You know, being alongside Lewis Hamilton is not an easy position to be in.
No.
No, I imagine Lewis, I'd guess Lewis has a say in who comes as well.
Well, there are some young riders, drivers that they're looking at. So, you know, that would suit Lewis Hamilton very well if he had someone
young gun. He doesn't need someone challenging him.
He doesn't want anyone faster than him, although, to be honest to Lewis, there aren't that many people faster than him.
No, that's great. But
I mean, he got dudded three times in a row. His car just broke down.
Yeah, but you get Max Verstappen in. So you get a young kid in that, who knows, all of a sudden Lewis's, and then you've got another fight. I don't think Mercedes want to go through the Rosberg-Hamilton issues they had. Jacqueline, as always, thank you for your time this morning. We'll catch you again next week. You stay safe over there.
Yeah, thanks, guys.